fitness, nutrition, sleep, longevity, performance, fat loss, and all the keys to a life of health, happiness, and success. I'm Jed Zimmer, your host, and welcome to The Health Project. Welcome back, guys, and we've got episode 37 tonight of The Health Project. We've got a longevity expert jumping on in Peter Ragnar tonight, the founder of the Longevity Sage. Great episode for just about every single listener, because obviously a lot of the stuff we've covered so far on the podcast is so valuable, but it wouldn't be valuable if we weren't all looking to increase our life expectancy and live the highest quality life possible. So longevity is something that we're all going to take away from here. It's a very valuable topic. So we're going to cover a lot with Peter. He's going to give his own strategies, tips, understandings, findings of all things longevity, but I thought I'll go into a little bit of my own research prior to this. So I've been looking into it quite a lot lately, in particular looking into the blue zone areas, which obviously the geographic areas in which people have lower rates of chronic disease and also tend to live a lot longer than anywhere else. So what they've found is in the blue zones that there is some common lifestyle practices and features that lead to these zones living a lot longer and having the lower rates of chronic disease. So a lot of them are quite simple and won't be surprising to us, which are things like, you know, they don't smoke anywhere near as much, consume a wide variety of plants in the diet, and certainly avoid processed and packaged foods, which are quite common things, which I'm sure we're all aware of. But I wanted to touch on a few little things that, you know, might be surprising to some of us. And one of the biggest things that stood out to me was that you know, the centenarians in the blue zones, they tend to lead very active lives, but yet they sort of rarely set foot in a gym or complete any sort of formal exercise program. And what I mean by that is they don't typically structure a gym or a workout into their daily routine, but more so they're constantly active with incorporating low levels of physical activity throughout the day. And what this has sort of found to be is, one, it is extremely beneficial for body composition. So if fat loss is a goal, this is one of the greatest approaches, because it's not going to put a lot of stress on the body, and it's something that each of us can do every day. So, you know, constantly walking, being on the move, standing more so than sitting. A lot of these people in these zones even go to the extent of, you know, they might have a standing work desk, or some people go to the extent of having a walking treadmill, which is quite excessive. But basically the gist of it is incorporating low levels of physical activity all throughout the day is actually more beneficial than having that structured exercise program. Now, you know, working as a personal trainer and all that, I'm all for both sides of the equation. So I certainly reckon you should have structured exercise program as well as incorporating low levels of physical activity throughout the day. So I'll put this into place. I'll make sure I have my, you know, my gym session or whatever kind of session I've structured for that day, as well as getting in a lot of walking throughout the day, moving, breaking up my work periods with, you know, it might just be 5 minutes of movement or a quick little stretch. So little things like that make a huge difference. One of the other things that they found that in most of the blue zones, strong relationships, you know, they prioritize social engagement, which is a huge thing. And, you know, compared to most Western societies, they tend to be much more engaged with and conscious towards and help and sort of go out of their way to help a lot of others, which is a big thing. The emotions when it comes to longevity are going to play a huge part, even though it's not really considered too much, but they, you know, being able to express feelings and wear their emotions in their sleeves is going to make a huge difference. So prioritizing social engagement was another big thing that they sort of discovered. Another one which is quite interesting was they also tend to drink a low to moderate amounts of alcohol, especially wine. So I think off the top of my head, it was 4 out of the 5 blue zones. They tend to engage in moderate and regular alcohol consumption. Now, this is very interesting. Obviously, episode 10 with James Swanwick, we covered red wine, and we sort of answered that question, is red wine really healthy? And what they actually discovered is that although red wine and wine itself can have some benefits, it's not generally to do with the alcohol content. It's more to do with the fact that you're going to be socializing. It's not typically by yourself, or it's generally you might be around a dinner table socializing with others. So even though red wine does have some antioxidants, polyphenols in there, it's more to do with that social engagement, which can lead to an increased lifespan. That was another interesting one. The biggest one that I took away though was the restricted calories and intermittent fasting, which is obviously huge. Intermittent fasting is something that I've touched on quite a fair bit, and it's increasing longevity. There's different forms of, you know, fasting. There might be time-restricted feeding. There might be alternate day fasting. There might be, or it's intermittent fasting, which I've spoken about. So there is a lot of different forms, but just any time you can sort of restrict calories for a period of time, give your digestive system a chance to recover or replenish, give your cells a chance for autophagy, which is basically the cleansing of the cells, cellular autophagy. That proved to be huge. So I'll try and go out of my way to include sort of a 16-hour fast 2 to 3 times a week, as well as a 24-hour fast, you know, once a fortnight, just to get in some of those extreme benefits. Outside of this, again, it's just some simple practices. I also found like limiting amounts of stress, having purpose in life, they're all going to lead to an increased longevity, as well as reducing chronic disease. So I'd look to implement a few of those practices into place, looking at the blue zone areas a little bit more, and gain an understanding of why the people in these areas are living a lot longer than a lot of us in the Western society. So you're going to learn a little bit more with Peter in this interview. It's a really, really good episode. I loved it. I loved interviewing Peter. I took a heap away from it. I followed him very closely. He's a very healthy and fit man for his age. So whatever he's done, he's certainly working. So enjoy tonight's episode, guys. We'll be back next week for episode 38. And keep healthy. First thing I want to touch on, which I know is something you're quite passionate about, and it's about living the life that you really want. What does this mean to you, and what are some steps that, you know, everyone can take to make this happen?
Well, you know, I think, Jed, everybody really wants to live what they consider the ideal life. But what that really requires is that you know what you want. And that's perhaps one of the biggest challenges. What is it exactly that you mean by living the ideal life? Mm. If you could wave a magic wand to make it any way that you wanted, how would that be? What would the details be? What would the specifics be? Mm. All of those things, those are the things that I addressed myself.
Right.
You know, many, many years ago, I came on to a story. When I was a kid, I was very interested in archery. And I loved to shoot a bow and arrow and, shoot at targets. And back in the 1930s through the 1950s, there was a very famous archer. His name was Howard Hill.
Yep.
And almost unbeatable. I mean, just an amazing marksman. Mm. But there was an unknown archer who once boasted that he could teach anybody
right
how to beat him in competition. Mm. And that's obviously an absurd claim. So they asked, well, how do you do that? And he says, well, it's simple. He said, blindfold Howard, turn him around 3 times, and then compete. Well, obviously, you can't hit a target you can't see. And that it was so meaningful when I heard that. You can't hit a target you can't see. So I set targets in my own life for what I wanted. Targets for health, targets for fitness, targets for usefulness, targets financially, targets as far as my skill levels, the things that I wanted to accomplish and be good at,
right,
and then laid out a plan to do that.
Mm. And when it comes to, you know, questions, is there questions that you ask yourself? And I know for me, I had a lot of clients, if they're going to go to a bookstore, what section do they go to? For me, I'd go straight to the health section, and I know that that's where my values lie. What if you've got people who genuinely are not sure, you know, what their values are and where they want to go with their life?
Well, you know, you if you are lacking motivation, you go to the motivation section. And obviously, you start creating your own library of information that you can feed on, that you can that will nourish you, that will keep the fire going, keep the enthusiasm high. And that's essential.
Right.
Reading on a daily basis about the things that you aspire to. I mean, every day I read. I think my entire lifetime, I read at least 2 or 3 books a week. Mm. I've done it since I was a kid.
Mm.
And that has certainly contributed to it.
Right. And what are some of the steps that you like to take? So you become aware with, you know, your values and what you want in life. What are the steps then, you know, that everyone can start to make? Is it goal setting that you touched on? Is it visualization? Do you want to just go through the step-to-step process?
Absolutely. Well, the first thing, obviously, is you have to have a target. But once you have the target, then you have to ask yourself, are you willing to pay the price? What's the price? What type of energy do I have to put forth to accomplish this? I mean, if a person wants to be a musician and play and be very good at playing a musical instrument, well, they obviously know they're going to have to put in hours and hours of practice, not just a couple times a week, but every single day, and setting that time, you know, this is the time, nothing's going to stop me from practice.
I like it. And is there any, you know, questions really reflecting is something that's critical? Is this something that you know, got in place on a day-to-day basis? You know, do you reflect on your goals and your values on a nightly basis or a monthly basis? How might reflections look for you?
Well, let's take physical goals as an example. My fitness, strength, and endurance goals are laid out very clearly. I know what I have to do every single day to reach those goals. Now, I'm sitting here in my library, and I can look and see volumes of workout diaries. These go back. There's at least a dozen volumes that were recorded, that I recorded every single workout over the past 15 years.
Right.
So I know where I need to be, what I need to do to get to where I want to be.
So
what those goals are.
Just on that, Peter, with tracking your, you know, your workouts, are you doing that to, you know, make sure you're progressing and progressively overloading, or what's the purpose behind that?
Absolutely. I like my goals are very ambitious. They're world record goals. And for my weight and size and age. And therefore, my targets are very clear.
Yeah.
So it's just like just earlier, you know, I did my squat workout, and it's fast paced, it's intense, and right now, since the quarantine, a lot of improvising goes into it, but I make certain that I get the results. I make certain that I push it. I realize, I say to myself, there's no easy day. The easy day was yesterday. Now I'm going to hit it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I like it. I absolutely love it. I've just started recently tracking. I've just started tracking my physical activity. And you're right with that sort of, you know, having it all laid out, it really does set clear goals for you.
Exactly. And the thing is, I know where I have to be this week to be where I want to be 6 months from now. And one of the things I'm also very aware of is that as people age, sarcopenia or muscle wasting starts taking place. It starts taking place about the time a person's 30 years of age.
Yep.
Athletically, 1% a year, and then by the time a person gets 50, that increases sometimes 2 to 3% a year, which means not only is there lean muscle mass lost, there's also bone loss, and all of this affects the immune system, it affects insulin, it affects blood sugar, and it increases diabetes, and you can go right on down the list of so many things. And that's why people, when they get 70 years of age, 80 years of age, they can't hardly move because it's cumulative.
Yeah.
And unless you're aware of it and you say, no, I'm consciously aware of what I have to deal with. This is a process that takes place. So how do I stall this? How do I retard it? How do I stop it? How do I reverse it? These are all the things that I have worked on and considered, and I'm aware of it every single day.
Yeah.
I'm aware of it every time I look at myself in my face in the mirror.
So from a longevity standpoint, from just going off what you've just touched on, do you think, the steps and the decisions that, we are making all through our life really do affect this from a longevity standpoint?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, Jed. Mm. All those tens of thousands of million little decisions that we've made every single day, they all add up. It's like grains of sand in a hourglass.
Right.
One by one, they pile up, and they're going to, and depends on which side of the equation you're talking about. You can get health or you can get the disability.
Right. I'm intrigued to ask Peter, what does, for when the word longevity, springs to mind to you, what does it mean? Is it about living, the longest life you possibly can, or living a life full of, quality and joy? How would you define longevity?
That's a good question, Jed. I would define longevity, especially from my viewpoint and my personal goals, as living as healthy and happily and functionally as possible, as long as possible. Because here's the thing, the bottom line is anything can happen to anybody at any time, any place. We have no guarantees. There are things that are outside of our control, but what is in our control is what we can work with. And we can accomplish those things, and that having the confidence that that you can do this, and seeing the evidences of it, that is exciting. I mean, it's really exciting. Now, whether a person lives to 120 or 150, I don't know. Let's find out.
You're right. It's exciting to see what can really happen. I want to ask your philosophy when it comes to nutrition, and in particular, I guess, from a longevity standpoint, we might touch on even what your nutrition looks like.
It's basically a plant-based full food diet. In other words, I like to know what I'm eating. What I eat is something that I can recognize. And that is so essential. I'll give you an example of my breakfast. Every single morning, and I have the same breakfast pretty much, is organic oats. And in the oats, I will put different types of berries. Like this morning, I put lingonberries, schisandraberry, elderberry, sea buckthorn, and black currants.
Right.
And which are absolutely amazing for your skin. Needless to say, many, many other attributes as far as the immune system goes. Then I sprinkle some nettle root or some of the medicinal mushrooms, cordyceps, reishi, and chaga.
Yep.
And I sprinkle those on top. I put on, I may throw a little handful of raisins on there, and that basically is my breakfast every single morning.
Right. And now from looking at things, I know people get, you know, so hyped up in the macronutrient contents, whether it comes to carbohydrate intake, you know, their fat intake, what it should be. For you, do you have a view and philosophy towards this, or again, you keep it quite simple?
There is, you know, there's times that I will track it with very, very carefully. As an example, my wife and I both track every single thing that went into our mouths for 100 days.
Right.
In other words, every gram of carbohydrate, every gram of protein, how much fiber, right on down the line.
Yeah.
And just to get a snapshot of it, what is the overall impact over 100 days, a little over 3 months?
And how often?
Of course, I track my weight. I track my blood pressure, which I do every day anyway.
Yeah. Just on that, Peter, is this something that you know, you do on a yearly basis, or how does this work?
I go in periodically. I will just put everything under the microscope,
right,
and look and see. I do take some supplements also, which I have found very helpful over the years, and especially with hard workouts, intense workouts. And I find branch chain amino acids.
Right.
I also take D3. I take B12. Saw palmetto, omega-3.
Okay.
Magnesium, resveratrol, and CoQ10. So those are things I take every day.
Yep. And is just, do you mind touching on, you know, the dosage and when you take them? So, for instance, branched chain amino acids, are you taking a certain amount? And is this pre-workout, during workout?
It's post-workout generally.
Post-workout, and, right.
And I also, post-workout, I also, or actually during my workout, toward the end of my workout, I also take a vegan protein drink. To make sure that at that point, when my muscle tissues are completely squeezed out, they're ready to absorb what nutrients, and that's very, very important.
Yeah, right.
That, and also I have to mention pine pollen. I'll take pine pollen tincture under my tongue just before my workout, and I'll hold it under my tongue for 30 seconds before swallowing it. And that along with ginseng, has a very, very powerful effect. I mean, it's supercharging my workout.
Okay, there you go.
And they're very, very strong. I'm never fatigued. I'm always hitting it with a lot of enthusiasm, and I'm raring to go.
And the reishi mushroom, you know, is this for cognitive health, anti-inflammatory? What's the purpose here?
I'm sorry, Jed. You might have to say that again.
The reishi mushrooms, which you touched on, you sometimes put on your morning breakfast. I'm just asking the purpose behind that. Is that from a cognitive standpoint, longevity, or just overall health?
It's primarily longevity because it's known as the longevity mushroom, and it's got quite a reputation of life extension, especially among some of the ancient sages or Taoist immortals, quote unquote. So that finds that's a regular every single day.
Right.
And chaga, especially for its anti-tumor and immune boosting effects. So I have that every morning also. And the cordyceps, actually, there was a study done back in the 90s on some Russian athletes who were taking cordyceps and getting spectacular results. I don't remember all the details now, but I find that helps my strength.
Okay, there you go. And with your exercise, what does your exercise routine look like? Are you combining strength training with cardio, high intensity? Do you want to just talk on your exercise routine a bit?
Okay, well, just now, I finished my workout. I warmed up with some free squats.
Right.
And then I put my, I've got a 50-pound weight vest. I put a weight vest on, then did 100 squats with the weight vest. And then I did 20 with 190 pounds.
Right.
And then right after that, I have a rope, a thick rope. And I did a set of 25 rope pull-ups. And that was basically my back workout. Now, ordinarily, if I was at the gym, the gym is open. Today would have been my deadlift day.
Okay.
And then I can go real heavy and just start, working with a lot more intensity, lower repetitions, of course.
Right. From a longevity standpoint, do you think strength training, is probably the best protocol? Because I've read, studies and research that suggests cardio, long endurance training can be harmful towards our longevity. So do you think strength training is the best philosophy when it comes to overall health and longevity?
I think so. And there's been a lot of research on that. There's an abundance of research out there comparing the two, and a lot of people are concluding that resistance training, heavy resistance training, providing that you're not, I don't even like to use this word, overdoing it, or doing it in a harmful fashion. The more lean muscle mass that you can hold on to, the better you're going to be able to function as the years pass. As an example, by the time a person is 70, it's been estimated that there's a 50% loss of motor units and 75% loss of fiber numbers in the body. Which basically is what we see with so many people who are in a debilitated condition. Right. And what happens, you start losing your flesh.
Yeah.
And that's, again, that what I mentioned earlier, sarcopenia.
There you go. That's crazy. And the recovery side of things, how crucial is this for you? And do you, outside of nutrition, and adequate sleep, are you putting in place any practices to improve recovery?
The first thing I do for recovery immediately after my workout is I take an ice cold shower.
Right.
And that has an amazing effect. First, it's good for willpower. It's good for your willpower just to step under the absolutely cold water without having a gasp you know, having your air sucked in, a reaction to it, but just gently turning on the ice cold water and standing under it, and stand there for 3 minutes or longer.
Right.
And, you know, professional athletes are all doing ice baths, you know, for sore muscles and joint recuperation. So I do this on a regular basis. Every single workout, at the end of the workout, I take a ice cold shower.
Right.
The other thing that I make certain that I do is get plenty of sleep.
Mm.
I get at it, you know, I go to bed early and I get up early.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the old saying, early to bed, early to rise makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Well, there's a lot of truth in that saying.
Mm. And how are you optimizing your sleep? Is the magnesium you touched on, is this a supplement? Do you have some sort of evening routine?
The magnesium is especially powerful in helping protein synthesis, and it's easy to be depleted in that.
Mm.
So I take a magnesium supplement in the evenings prior to going to bed, and I also take some vitamin C at that same time.
Right.
And I find that helps me. Well, first it also helps your sleep quality. But
okay.
if you've had a really good workout, you're gonna go to sleep anyway.
Yeah, that's true. I like it. Now, I just want to ask from I like using the word biohack. From a biohacking standpoint, when it comes to longevity, do you think there's any biohacks? Whether it can be, you know, you've already touched on cold thermogenesis. Seems to be quite popular. Infrared sauna, just anything outside of nutrition and exercise that you think is worth mentioning?
There is something that I do. It's I do acupuncture. I stimulate the acupuncture points, especially the longevity points on my body.
Right.
There's one in particular, which is called Stomach 36, which if you're sitting in a chair and you put the palms of your hands over your knees and you turn your hands slightly to the outside, your ring finger should come to a little indentation
right on
the side of your leg.
Okay.
That's and it should be a little it's generally tender to most people.
Mm.
That is Stomach 36. Now, back in 1998, Dr. Amora and his associates in New York City were doing some studies on telomeres.
Yep.
And telomeres and acupuncture. Mm. And one of the points that they studied was this particular point, Stomach 36. And they found an amazing increase in lengthening the telomere by stimulating that point.
All right. There you go. That's crazy.
That goes back to a lot of ancient stories about people who have allegedly lived an amazing length of time.
Mm.
And in one particular alleged account, this one man was claimed to be 240 years of age. And they asked him, well, what is it that you do? What's your main practice? And he said, for the first 8 days of the month, I stimulate Stomach 36. And he used moxibustion on it, burning mugwort cone.
Mm.
Now, if that was his actual age, hard telling. You know, this is a story that's been passed on. However, when the research was done on telomeres and its connection to certain acupressure and or acupuncture points on the human body, they were astounded to find that certain points can be stimulated that will actually increase the telomeres.
There you go.
Now, my wife and I both had our telomeres tested, and biologically, we are our bodies are half our chronological age.
Okay. There you go. That's incredible.
And so, I mean, this is, you know, we got we did the blood work. We did all the testing. Even just recently, I had a battery of tests done, and they took 9 vials of blood. And when I had when I met with a doctor to have it reviewed, she was amazed.
That's incredible. Yeah.
She said, I'm amazed. Well, that all, you know, it's the whole package. It's, you know, a longevity hack, meditation. Every day having time set aside, that's your quiet time, that's not intruded upon, that, you know, this is your sacred time. Nobody disturbs it.
I like it. What does meditation look like for you? Is it guided? Is it transcendental?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that when people talk about meditation, meditation is what happens when the mind becomes still. And there's lots of different tricks that people use to try to slow down the thought process. And actually, I can share one that's pretty simple. Just sit quietly and count your breaths. Right. Or sit quietly, count your breaths from 1 to 100. Or try to get to 100. But every time you have a thought pop up, you got to start again at 1.
Yes, okay. Yeah, I like it. I reckon I could be sitting there for a few hours, but I like it. No, it's good. I want to take it back a step. Stress is, you know, it's a part of all our lives. I think, and I know you're of the same view, that reducing stress as much as possible is going to be beneficial. But is there times that we can all benefit from stress? And then flipping it on its head again, how do we reduce stress to when we don't need it?
Well, you know, we definitely, we're hearing a lot of negative talk about stress. And stress, obviously, it damages the brain, interferes with the glucose supply to the brain, destroys eventually neurotransmitters in the brain. And in addition to that, the excess calcium that it causes to build up causes brain cell dysfunction. So there's a lot of negatives, but what people don't realize that without having some degree of cortisol, the blood sugar would be out of whack. Cortisol is essential to reduce inflammation, and it regulates the blood pressure, especially if the pressure is low, it raises it. So without some degree of cortisol, we don't wake up in the morning. And so it has to be in balance. But the problem is that stress, and whether it's mental stress or excessive physical stress, causes too much cortisol. Cortisol goes up, muscle weakness, weight gain, thinning skin, retarded healing, diabetes, increases in cholesterol levels, all these things are then the forerunners of more serious diseases like heart disease.
Yeah. Right. You mitigate stress, or is it, again, does it come through what we've already touched on, nutrition, exercise, sleep, meditation, and these kind of practices?
And get some massage, some deep tissue massage on a regular basis too. That's something, you know, of course, right now all of that's been suspended. Don't take the stuff too seriously. I mean, be sincere about things you do. Take a deep breath. This stuff isn't new. It happens periodically in cycles. It's just, you know, same music, different band.
Yeah. Well, Peter, it's been absolutely awesome getting to sit down and have a chat with you. You're a real, real inspiration, and it's been a big honour finally getting to meet you and talk health and longevity. If I can be close to as healthy as you at your age, it will certainly be a big positive. And as I said, there's a lot that I'm going to take away from this, as well as the audience. So big thanks, mate, and I'll wish you all the best.